We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Adam Plutko is with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Be on the mound Sunday against the Phillies in a big three-game set here. Adam, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good. Thanks. Thanks for having me. Good intro music, by the way.
There you go. It's your song, man.
We
don't. We don't mess around. We don't mess around.
I love that.
You know, Adam, this is, you know, the last couple of years, the team has kind of cruised to the finish line and then gone to the playoffs. Obviously, that's not happening here. Every game matters. You guys are tied for that second wild card. Obviously, the Twins are in great shape in the division, up four games, but that's not done. You guys still got a shot there. What's it like this year right now being part of this and knowing that really every game matters down the stretch?
I think it's exciting. I mean, this is kind of what you want. You don't want to, for me, you don't want to coast into playoffs. I'd rather play meaningful games than get right into playoffs and then nothing really changes. So you got playoff atmosphere for the rest of the season. That for me is exciting, and that's why you want to play the game. So I'm kind of looking forward to these next, three series, I think, is all we have left, and I'm excited to go.
Adam, obviously this season's been, you know, full of ups and downs. It's been a roller coaster ride with injuries, with Cookie's situation, with, you know, battling cancer. How has the team responded? How was the clubhouse throughout everything you guys have had to deal with?
I mean, I would venture to guess that most people would be surprised that everybody shows up every single day excited, ready to go, and ready to compete with the guys around us. And I truly mean that. I've never had more fun in the Indians clubhouse than this group of guys this year. I think some young guys, obviously, were young, especially in the starting pitching area, but it doesn't show. And, it's showing up, and it's laying it all out there. And I think we're all having a lot of fun right now.
Are you guys still having fun making fun of Plesac with his hairless arms?
Yeah, always making fun of Plesac. I mean, the kid just brings it upon himself sometimes, but he's been phenomenal, if I'm being truly honest.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody saw a guy that's made about 14 starts in the upper minors pitching as well as he has and as consistently as he has, and it's been a lot of fun to watch him.
Adam, that's what I was going to ask you about, was guys like Zach and Adam Savali and here Karinchak lately. How much did you know about these guys before the season? Because I think most fans probably couldn't even name them in the organization. And now they're, you know, especially the two starters have been key contributors all season long. How much did you know about them before they got up here?
Yeah, Savali, I mean, might be the best pitcher in all of baseball that nobody's heard of over his last 10 starts. If you truly look at his numbers, Mike Clevenger might be the only one that's been better than him. And it's just impressive. I mean, everybody's pretty unflappable when they come up here and not scared of the moment, not scared of the hitter that's in the box, even if it's Mike Trout, Miguel Cabrera, or anybody else. And it's been a lot of fun for me. Not that I'm, you know, a gray hair by any means, but it's been a lot of fun to watch these young guys come up and truly just do their thing and not be scared of anybody.
You guys, this is the fun time of the year. We talked about the pennant race. I brought up a scenario yesterday where, in theory, you guys could finish Sunday. You could play in D.C. on Sunday. Then let's say you finish tied with the Rays for the second wild card. You could then play in Tampa on Monday and then play in Oakland in the wild card game on Wednesday and then play Friday in either New York or Houston. Are you guys prepared for a road trip like that possibly?
I mean, shoot, we've been on the road for the last 5 weeks, it seems like. We haven't had many home games at all. So I guess we'll just keep our bags packed if that is the case. And pretty much status quo for us over the last 5 weeks. But that would be, I mean, a hell of a run of baseball, to say the least, if it does end up that way. I hope we just, you know, win our division and don't have to deal with all that mess. But if we do,
sure. Like
I said, everybody's up to the challenge. Nobody's backing down. Nobody's scared. We'll be ready to go.
You know, Adam, I referenced earlier when I asked you about the clubhouse and Cookie. How is Carrasco doing with everything?
He's phenomenal, and I've said this the entire time when anybody's asked, you would never know the guy has leukemia. I mean, even when he was going through pretty heavy treatments and stuff like that, he'd still show up, he'd still make you laugh and do all the stupid stuff that Cookie does on a daily basis. And now he just has more energy and he's more exciting and he's really back to himself. And it's been incredible, really. I don't know how he's done it, but he's been an absolute gem through this entire process.
If you look at the lineup you guys ran out on opening day, and obviously all the injuries that you've had throughout the season, if you don't make the playoffs, how will the season be viewed?
I don't know. I'm not very good at that kind of stuff. I'm such an in the moment guy, and I care so much about what we're going to do today that, you know, I'm sure I'll look back when the season's over. But I think Indians fans are truly lucky that they haven't really had seasons like this in a long time. But at the same time, I think it's also exciting to see the future's pretty bright here in Cleveland, yeah. No matter what.
And Plitko with us. We're talking about the Indian season. We are down to 10 days remaining in the regular season. The American League Division Series will begin next Friday. The American League Wild Card game, if the Indians are in it, will be on Wednesday. Are you a fan of the wild card, Adam, in terms of like it only being one game? I think I'd like to see it be three. What do you think about that?
I think a three-game series would definitely be interesting. But, yeah. I mean, I absolutely love the game 163s. I think, 2008 or so, I think Minnesota was in one with somebody else, and it was a phenomenal game, and then there was like one the next year after that. So I think for viewership, it's awesome, and it's a lot of fun. I personally, I'm not a huge fan of like full-on bullpen games. Maybe it's because we don't do it very often.
Right.
But I love when starters go toe-to-toe with everything on the line. For me, that's exciting. That's why I play the game, because I want the ball on that kind of a day.
Yeah. Adam, when you look at Jose Ramirez took batting practice yesterday from both the left and right side. I mean, when we first heard about his injury, I think most of us assumed he was done for the year. That was kind of the indication. I mean, he after he struggled so mightily early in the season, he was cooking in the second half, back to the guy we expected to see, back to the guy you guys expected. How huge would it be if he could come back here before the end of the season?
I mean, it's huge. You're talking about a guy who's finished second or third in AL MVP 2 years running, and that's a huge blow to not have him in the lineup or to have him struggle like he did in the first half. And the fact that he kind of really found it and came along just before the All-Star break and obviously well afterwards, to have that guy back in a lineup, it just makes the lineup deeper. And that's what all the good postseason lineups are. They're really deep. There's no easy outs, and you can't work around anybody because the next guy can beat you just like the guy in front of you can beat you.
Tell us a little bit about James Karinchak, and his stuff has been absolutely filthy, obviously, this year. What is his future? What is his ceiling?
I mean, his ceiling's as high as he can possibly take it. It's exciting. It's exciting to see him throw 97 with this big old hook. I mean, he's kind of a psycho. Like, let's be honest, if anybody's been watching the last couple outings,
screaming into his glove
in
and all that?
In a positive way. And, yeah, exactly, screaming into his glove, getting mad at himself. So after the game last night, him screaming into his glove was he was mad at himself. He wasn't excited to finish the game. He was so mad at himself because he threw that ball away that he still felt the need two batters later after two strikeouts to scream at himself on the field, on the mound. I love the kid to death, but, I mean, he's got to temper the temper just a little bit.
Hey, I mean, the strikeout rate in the minors was absurd. He's
incredible.
Already,
absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. He's already got 5 Ks in 2 1/3 innings. I mean, listen, I don't want to put too much pressure on him at 23, but he has future big-time closer written all over him, doesn't he?
Yeah, and I'd say he honestly reminds me a lot of Cody Allen. When Cody Allen first came up, not that I was in the same clubhouse as Cody Allen.
Right.
His demeanor, but his ability and his stuff. You know, high velocity and high, big old curveball, big swing and miss curveball, lots of swing and miss in general. And Cody Allen for 6 years was next to Craig Kimbrell as the best reliever in all of baseball. So that's the kind of ability that I really think that this kid has.
Adam, who was your favorite player growing up?
Oh, that's tough. I mean, I grew up in, just talk about a great era of starting pitching. Mike Mussina, Roger Clemens, Andy Pettit. You know, I really respected
Pedro.
The way Pedro, exactly. Yeah. I really respected the way those guys went about it and their intensity on the mound. So it's hard to narrow down. Roger Clemens, I mean, for me is probably the number one, but Mike Mussina, I mean, that's a guy that goes well under the radar of all the guys that I just mentioned, and I absolutely loved watching him.
You know, it's funny because when he first retired, I was working in New York, not at the time he retired, but I was working in New York before his last couple of years. And earlier in my career, I was like, yeah, I don't know if Mike Mussina is a Hall of Famer. I think he's kind of borderline. And then, like, as the years went by and we learned more about, you know, the advanced stats and the analytics, you realize I'm like, oh, yeah, he was a no-brainer Hall of Famer. And he did get in, but
no doubt. And the most impressive thing to me is to pitch his entire year or his entire career in the AL East.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's just incredible with the amount of hitters during the steroid era, during that whole time to pitch your entire career in those ballparks. I mean, I wish ERA plus was a bigger stat back then because his would be through the roof.
And when you talk about Roger Clemens, do you think he should be in the Hall of Fame?
Personally, I do. I mean, look, we're letting some guys in that we've known to take steroids. We're not letting other guys in because of, you know, whatever, you know, speculation, you know, whatever. I don't know. But for me, he was the most dominant pitcher of the era, and he should be in. And Curt Schilling, in my mind, should be in. And I don't even think he is linked to performance-enhancing drugs. But some writers really just didn't like the guy and don't vote for him.
Yeah, I mean, to me on the steroid guys, I would vote him in as I maybe would have a little higher standard. But Clemens and Bonds and some of those guys are so above the Hall of Fame standards, you know. But a lot of the older voters don't want to vote him in. I think a lot of the younger voters are voting these guys in, but I don't know. We'll see.
I get it. I get it either way. I mean, Bud Selig's in the Hall of Fame, and he was the commissioner during whole era. And so how does – obviously he deserved – Bud Selig 100% deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. But I also believe that Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds 100% deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. Put an asterisk next to their name. I don't care.
Yeah.
But they belong in the Hall of
Fame. It's part of the history. If you're telling the history of the sport, you got to have those guys in. I agree. You know, Adam, you mentioned ERA plus, and I'm always curious to this. Like, you know, when I was a kid, I'm almost 50 years old. When I was a kid, you know, obviously there were no advanced stats, or at least that we were aware of. And, like, we paid attention to wins. And now, as someone on the radio, I basically ignore wins. I don't think they're any kind of indicator for how well a pitcher is pitched. But it seems like pitchers still care about getting the win, even though I think probably you guys know that it's not an indicator of success. How do you feel about it, personally?
It's funny. I was literally just having this conversation like 20 minutes ago. Tim Kirchen's here. They're doing the ESPN's doing the game tonight, and I was just talking with him, and I'm like, man, I feel like I can get so lost in some of these advanced analytics. Like, does ERA matter, or does fielding independent pitching matter, and which one actually is a truer tell of, you know, how I'm doing? And then all of a sudden, I just feel like, well, am I winning ball games? Like, that's what matters. And whether I get the W or my team gets the W, I really don't care, as long as when I'm out there, I'm getting a W for my team, or I'm keeping my team in a ball game so that we can get a W, and let the rest of the stats kind of be what they are.
So when you come off the mound, how do you determine if you had a good night or not? What's the first stat that you look at?
Man, a lot of things go into that. I think it's more of a feeling. First of all, did I do my job? Did I, you know, help my team? Did I keep my team in the ball game? And then it goes to, did I execute the pitches I was trying to execute? Did I get beat on one mistake, or did I get beat on 7, 8, yeah, 9, 10 mistakes? That's a tough question to answer. I really think it's a feeling thing. And then, you know, then I start the process of going back through the numbers like you talked about and seeing how my pitches were moving that day, all that kind of stuff.
Last thing, Adam, we appreciate the time. Do you guys have a fantasy football league? And if so, how is your team?
We're 4-0. We do two matchups a week, 4-0.
Okay.
We got voted worst draft possible. I'll admit we had some rough picks. Jameis Winston in about the 9th, 8th round.
Right.
Not the greatest pick.
Ouch.
You know, he's
hanging
on the end of our roster right now. But we're 4-0. We're having a great start to the year. Damian Williams, huge pick.
He's hurt, though. He's hurt right now.
He is. Yeah. I just found that out. A little upset. We picked up Frank Gore. Hopefully Singletary's out.
He is out. He's out.
Okay, so We got a RB1 all of a sudden. Keenan Allen and Galladay had big weeks. We're going to keep that going. We're starting Stafford for our quarterback.
Who's your partner? Who's your partner?
Oliver Perez and I are the financiers, so we're like the owner of the team, and then our GM is our bullpen catcher, Ricky Passione, and he does the day-to-day work, and then we're in a team group text message just going back and forth about all the moves we want to make.
Is a big money league there, Adam?
No comment.
Yeah, it's pretty good cash. Yeah, it's a nice buy-in. There's a reason why I needed somebody else to go in.
What would you say? My partner here, Adam, Dustin, we were in a fantasy league together. He did not set his lineup last night.
I always forget.
And so he didn't have the Jaguars defense in there. What do you think if somebody does that?
I couldn't care less about fantasy football.
Anytime you want to play in our league, please just let us take your donation.
Listen, I do. I donate every year.
Form, that's fine. And then you can write it off as donation. We'll take it.
It's a donation every year, Adam.
You're welcome whenever you want.
There you go. Hey, Adam, best of luck, man. Thanks for spending time with us. Good luck down the stretch here.
Thanks for having me.
All right, you got it. Adam Plutko.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.